Alleluia, Christ is risen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. reading from the Revelation to John. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the time of the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in this suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. His name was Martin Richard. He was only 8 years old when he died on Monday. It's been a very hard week, hasn't it? I know you feel it too. First, we were shocked and frightened when the bombs went off at the Boston Marathon. And then we watched as the city was put on lockdown and they hunted for the suspects. And to make things worse, we had that terrible accident in West Texas. But I want to focus on Boston this morning. I want you to understand that I believe the purpose of terrorism is not just to take lives. In fact, that is more a tool. Terrorism uses murder and mayhem to bring about fear. They want us to be afraid. Many of you know this, but my husband used to be in Ironman races. So I know what it's like to be on that finish line. You see your loved one way far away, and immediately you can tell that they are more exhausted than you've ever seen them before. They're completely physically spent, and so, like an idiot, you start screaming. Because I think that you assume that maybe by the sheer force of your enthusiasm and love, you'll be able to carry them across the finish line. And you end up not just screaming for your loved one, but for every single person who's nuts enough to try that race. Because it's an act of great courage. It pushes the human body to extremes. And you celebrate that. You admire it. You stand in awe. My favorite part of the Ironman races happened at midnight. When everyone returns to the finish line, you see, in order to be called an Ironman, you have to finish the race by midnight. So everyone returns, the professionals, people who have already finished, the fans, the family, everyone gathers to cheer on the last ones. I remember there was this woman who was so spent that she was on her hands and knees crawling to try to cross the finish line by midnight. So we started pounding on the bleachers and screaming. And we hollered and yelled and hollered and yelled, and she inched her way over that finish line right before midnight, and we all just went crazy. And I remember, as I was screaming like an idiot and cheering and stomping, looking around and thinking, this is the kingdom of heaven. It is that place of enthusiasm and love that was attacked. Because the voices of hatred and fear in our world want us to be afraid. They want us to not have the courage to go out and scream like idiots or run in big races. They want us to cower at the thought. You know, the early Christians, when they thought about Jesus, they did not picture him hanging on a cross. The image of Jesus hanging on a cross didn't develop until after the year 400 AD. No, the first picture that they had of the Lord, the first image that is depicted in art, is that of a shepherd. A simple man with a crooked stick, often holding a sheep or leading them. Because the early Christians knew what it was to be afraid. The Roman Empire did not want them, did not like them. The Emperor Nero, scholars believe, started a great fire in the city of Rome, burning most of the city for the sole purpose of blaming the Christians and then sentencing them to death. And so they walked into an arena knowing that they would die. And when they thought of Jesus, they pictured that gentle shepherd who calls them. I was recently in Scotland, and there are lots of sheep. And I was reminded of how dumb they are. Sheep are so dumb that they will walk right off a cliff. That's what keeps the shepherds so busy, trying to protect them. But when they know his voice, they will come. So easily, without thought, without calculation, because they really aren't capable of making the right decisions anyway half the time. And so when it comes to our own lives and our future and the meaning of the universe, we are so much like sheep. There is so much that we don't understand. We don't know which way to turn. And God doesn't ask us to figure it all out. God just asks us to recognize his voice, the voice of the shepherd that calls us. And the shepherd often says two very simple things. First, and very importantly, the shepherd always says something to the effect of, "Don't be afraid." And the second thing the shepherd says is, "Follow me." You can hear his voice, you know. It speaks all the time. Not necessarily in a booming voice from heaven, but the shepherd speaks through the words of other people, through the actions of radical love that just burst upon us sometimes. Through music, art, sometimes in a glimpse of raw beauty in the natural world. I know that you hear the shepherd's voice, but sometimes we don't listen enough. Let me give you an example of how the shepherd has spoken this week. Laura Wellington is 25 years old, and she was in the Boston Marathon. She was running her guts out, approaching the finish line when those two bombs went off. They wouldn't let her finish, but she really didn't care. All she wanted to do was find a cell phone so she could call her family and find out if they were okay. She was frantic. She called and called and finally reached them, and they were all right, and she fell to her knees sobbing in relief. There was a man standing near her who had finished the race. His wife had put one of those warming blankets over his shoulders. He walked up to Laura and said, "Did you finish the race?" "No," she said. The man took off his medal, those coveted Boston Marathon medals. He took it off and he put it around her neck. And he said to her, "You are a finisher in my eyes. You are a finisher in my eyes. So speaks the shepherd. Or in Watertown on Saturday night, when they finally found the second suspect and the law enforcement came down the street and the people came out of their homes and cheered and clapped, and in the sound of their voices, you could hear him. So speaks the Good Shepherd. Or in the voice of an elderly man who on Saturday night, he said, I am so proud of this city. I have never been more proud of this city than I am tonight. So speaks the Good Shepherd. How do you know his voice? Because it edifies, because it builds up, because it loves. I know you hear a lot of voices of fear and hatred, but listen. The voice of the Good Shepherd is so much stronger. It permeates our whole world, speaking to us from out of the chaos and darkness. I believe that Martin Richard, that little 8-year-old boy, with all my heart, that he heard the voice of the Good Shepherd and that he crossed the real finish line, the big one. And in the book of Revelation, it says that when you cross that finish line, the people that you love are screaming and cheering for you, that they've been waiting for you, that you make it. And that Christ says, welcome home. So speaks the Good Shepherd. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Martin.
see.
Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer.
This community.
Hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, help us not to listen to the voices of hatred and fear, but to search for your voice and yours alone. O good shepherd, lead us and guide us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. And we have tours of this beautiful facility after the service, leaving from the back of the church. We're glad you're here with us today. Speaking of this beautiful facility, I want you to save a date. On May 12th, we are having a woman from the Episcopal Church Foundation come here to the cathedral to begin to discern with us how we're going to address some of the needs of this beautiful facility. So you'll be hearing about some of the preservation projects that we need to accomplish and some of the renovation that could occur. And we'd like to hear your opinion about how we can care for this building. So there are more details about that date in your bulletin. We hope you'll come and participate in discussions with us on that day. The Bloodmobile is here today, and as usual, Jacksonville is in need of blood. So if you're physically able, you can walk right in to the van back there and donate the blood, and we're very grateful to all of you. After you receive communion, I want to remind you that there are people in both chapels who are available to pray with you. So if you have something on your heart or someone that you know who needs prayers, feel free to go to them and let them pray with you and for you. If you're interested in baptism or confirmation, the bishop will be visiting us in May, so please contact us in the office if you've been through Basic A or if you're interested in one of those sacraments. Tonight there's a free concert. The Ancient City Brass will be performing with Tim Tuller on the organ, and I've listened to them practice. It's quite incredible music. So if you're free and you want to hear some beautiful music, 5 o'clock tonight, right here. Also tonight at 5 at St. Mary's Church, there is a reunion Altrea for people who have done the Curcio retreat or people who are interested in doing Curcio. So you're welcome to a covered dish meal and service there at St. Mary's. Father Perry is in Europe watching bulls do their bullfighting thing. Father Aaron is over at St. Mary's helping them out since they didn't have a priest today. Father Raja is with me, and aren't we blessed to have such wonderful priests. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
It is truly right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks. For you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of life and source of all goodness, you made all things and fill them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we acclaim you and glorify your name as we sing. We acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners, freedom. To the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts you have given us this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with John, and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.